from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, along with Jacob Albrecht. Good morning to you, Jacob.
Hey, Tommy, how are you? Welcome in on a Friday. TGIF. It is a very exciting Friday because we get, well, exciting in both maybe a nervous way. I feel like it's an exciting and nervous time for the Royals right now. I feel like it's an exciting and nervous time to navigate through the second preseason game of the NFL season and try to survive it almost. But we've got a lot coming up for you, and we're excited about it. We've got a big charity event coming up this weekend that Tommy and I will be a part of. Hopefully we see some of you folks out there for that. It is a good time, and it's a good time to get in touch with the program as well, which you can do on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, by the way. Excited to bring back all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. We mentioned this yesterday, and maybe we can get one of these today. So if you listen to us on the Odyssey app, there's a little microphone on that home screen where you can essentially send us a voicemail or send us like a voice message that we can either, you know, read out over the air. Jad can play it over the air. So if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, try that feature out. It's pretty cool, I think. We haven't had one yet, but we you know, it snuck up on us. So it's there. It's available for you. Appreciate those listening to us on KFH. If you're watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can leave us your comments there as well. Glad to be here with you, Tommy. How's your Thursday? Everything good? We ready to rock and roll into the weekend?
Yeah, ready to go this weekend. Busy weekend for you and I. We've got a lot that we're a part of this weekend with the All Ball weekend benefiting Shepherd's Way. That starts tonight. Tim Tebow at the Crown Uptown, a charity softball game tomorrow that we'll be a part of. So a lot to do this weekend, but looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the Royals getting back at it. The Rangers, my Rangers let the Royals down last night by letting Minnesota get a late inning win. So no ground gained on their game off, a day off to the Twins, who are, you know, the most direct team ahead of them. But behind them, we had Boston lose, Seattle lose. So they're both on losing streaks. So you come into now this Friday of getting back into action, the Royals 2.5 games of the Red Sox ahead. Seattle blew another one. They're 3.5 games back. Seattle, I don't know how much people are paying attention to Seattle. It is criminal how they're not supporting that starting pitching. And their starter yesterday, Bryce Miller, took like a 2-0 lead through the seventh inning, and they blew it again. But they just cannot get any offense. So if you're the Royals, kick them while they're down a little bit here, Tommy, because they may get hot at any point. If their offense wakes up, they're going to win a ton of games all at once. But they're 3.5 games back, so Boston's 2.5, and the Royals enter the day 2 games back behind Minnesota, 6 games back of Cleveland, but in pretty good position, I would say, for a team who's lost 6 out of their last 10 games. So now we look at it as, okay, you've lost 6 out of your last 10, 4-6 over that stretch. Now you enter a stretch where you have got to be better. And we talk about this all the time, and it's becoming more and more apparent for the Royals. I mean, the formula for them to get to the postseason, Tommy, is to beat up on bad teams. It's not just the formula for them. It's formula for a lot of these teams in the mix. Cincinnati is not bad, but they're a game under 500. They're not good. It's on the road. You'd really like to win that series. And you go up against 3 good starting pitchers in that series. That'll be pretty tough. Then you get the 3 against the Angels at home. And, you know, that's a series you've got to take advantage of, but you're going to have to lean into your starting pitching there. Because after that, Tommy, you get, and listen to the stretch of the schedule. We haven't really looked this farther ahead than the next 6. It's Philadelphia, 4 at Cleveland, 4 at Houston, Cleveland for 3, Minnesota for 3, and then at New York before you get to games against Pittsburgh, who's not terrible, but you want to talk about a stretch. What is that? 9, 13, 17, 20 straight games against playoff teams. 20 straight games against playoff teams. You better beat up on the bad teams when you got a chance, because in a best case scenario, based on what we've seen this year in those 20 games, you're winning half of them. And that's probably, that's glass half full based on what we've seen this year. So while you have a little cushion, and I haven't looked at what the other teams in the wild card have coming up either. They may also have tough schedules. I don't know that. I just know what the Royals have. Better win these, a lot of them, and you better build on that cushion and hope that that cushion can sustain you through that 20-game stretch. That is brutal. It's as brutal as they've had this year in that stretch. Just while we're looking at it here, they will have, Tommy, they'll get a day off before it begins, and then they get one day off in that 20 games. Am I looking at that right?
No, you are. They get a day off next week, I think, next Thursday, I believe, is the next one. And then I think that it's just straight through until mid-September.
There's the way one in there. Yeah, there's out. One. Yeah. It's like on September 8th or September 5th. So they get in a 20-game stretch while you're in it, they will have, my goodness. I mean, that is nuts, man. One day off against those teams.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough.
It's a lot. It is a lot. It's a tall task in front of the Royals. And I think that once you get through the end of the season, if you know, you take a look back at the stretch of games and really breaking up the season into manageable chunks, you take a look at this stretch of games, you take a look at the stretch before the All-Star break when they were playing a bunch of teams that were under 500 and not being able to take advantage of those games quite as much. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's what ultimately is going to happen, that we're going to take a look back and see where the season, you know, failed the Royals or the Royals failed the season, but they really haven't, outside of, you know, series that they played against the White Sox, they haven't really taken major advantage of stretches of their schedule where they played relatively softer teams. That really hasn't happened quite as much. At least they haven't dominated those teams in the way that you would expect. And this current stretch right now is part of that. I know that obviously they just played Minnesota and that's not a softer team by any means, but you go back to them playing teams like the Rockies and the Diamondbacks and the Cubs and, you know, other teams like that, where they really weren't fully able to take advantage of that schedule. I think that, you know, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite the Royals, because as you mentioned, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. They're entering into a stretch of baseball that's going to be tough for a variety of reasons. Number one, the strength of the teams that they're playing against, first and foremost. But number two, the time of year it is, you're getting down to the wire. Each game means that much more. Fatigue sets in. It's, you know, that lack of days off in that stretch. It's going to be a grind for Kansas City, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage that once they get through this Red Series this weekend and then the Angels series.
And the other thing is, too, in that mix of brutality is that you get a bunch of games against the Twins and the Guardians. So, you know, we talk about it all the time. Those series are nerve-wracking because if they go way awry, it can kill you in the standings. But it can do the opposite. You know, if you win them all too, like you can have the opposite effect. And that's also exciting. That's what I mean. Like kind of off the top, where like it's a very, you know, exciting time, but nervous time. The Royals are very much, to me, a nerve-wracking. And again, this enhances the experience. This is why it's so much fun. And I love it. Competitive baseball like this, but they're not, you know, a team that can just coast on into the postseason. It's going to be a battle to get there. And we know that. And that's why we're, you know, paying in so close attention to what the starters are doing and any trends there. You want to talk about a good opportunity for Michael Lorenzen to really come in and establish like why the Royals go get him. Get this series off to a good start. Can they start a series here where it doesn't feel like they're desperate for a win by the end of it? Can they set themselves up to, you know, on a nice stretch here on this six games? Can they win 5 out of 6? Can they win 6 out of 6? Can they do something special like that? Lorenzen gets the first shot at it, and that'll be, you know, I think he's geared for that kind of thing. It's, you know, it's not, there's 162 games. We get it. There's 2 months left to go, month and a half left to go. We get it. But it does, the things that happen each individual day matter to all of it. And I just, that is, I cannot imagine any of the other playoff teams, at playoff contenders, Tommy, have that sort of stretch left to go. The good news is after that. So after that stretch, and we're looking way out ahead right now, but after that stretch, so Pittsburgh has really fallen off lately, and that's the team that you come out of it with. You'll go Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, Washington, Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's bad, obviously. Atlanta's good. But the rest of those teams are teams you feel like you should beat, right? Washington, San Francisco's right at 500. They're not bad, but they're not great. Like, they do end, as bad as that 20-game stretch is, they get about 12 or so games before that Atlanta series where they'll have a chance to sort of recover a little bit. But, man, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden you're 5 games back or something catastrophic out of that series. Houston is probably going to stay hot at this point, don't you think? Like, Houston's going to start to separate, I think, a little bit from Seattle. But Seattle is a team, to me, that could get white hot of the teams in the chase. I don't know about Boston. And Boston's interesting. But I think they've stuck in it, and they were fairly aggressive at the deadline. So probably. But it's, you know, it's that Seattle-Houston dynamic that scares me just a little bit. One of them's obviously getting in, but I do think they've got the kinds of rosters to go nuclear and win a ton of games down the stretch. And that's the danger for the Royals. You got to make sure one of those, if that happens, that you don't get passed up, even if you do go 500 down the stretch. In that 20 games, Tommy, I'd be ecstatic if they went 10 and 10 over that 20 game stretch.
With the competition that they're going to be facing in that 20-game stretch, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, and anything above that is a gift.
But if they do, like, that's what I mean. Like, that's why it's so interesting. If they do, and Houston or Seattle, which I think are both capable of this, because I think they both have really, really good top-to-bottom rosters, that, you know, that may not be good enough. So, long story short, it emphasizes the urgency to win a bunch of these next 6 games to build your cushion up, because I think they're going to need that cushion for those 20 days.
And how many times do people say, I mean, I've said it all the time, that the Major League Baseball season is a marathon, not a sprint? Well, you're in the period of the season where it is a sprint.
It becomes, you know, looking,
it becomes one at this point in the year, and especially in the position that the Royals are in right now. It is a sprint to the finish. It's not a marathon anymore. You know, and it's been really easy to say, all right, Royals, like in this last series with the Twins, okay, you drop the first two. You know, you win the third one, you lose the series overall, but yeah, you still feel pretty good about where the Royals are. At least they didn't get swept. Well, no, you're in a period now where like every single game absolutely is crucial. They've got 42 games in the next 45 days. So it is 100% a sprint for Kansas City. And you know, so I think that the players' mentality, they clearly know that going into it. You mentioned getting off to a good start in the series this weekend. That's paramount. They have lost the first game in their last three series. Before that, they had won the first game in the last seven. So clearly the trend has become for them to drop the first game of the opening series most recently, but they've got to get off to a good start this weekend against the Reds. They've got to get off to a good start next week against the Angels. That's so important for them. So their backs are not up against the wall in the finale of each series when they're, you know, trying to claw their way to at least, you know, getting one game out of the entire set.
So here's the good news. Boston, in that same six games that the Royals, you know, play the Reds and the Angels, and you feel like they need to win a ton of them, play on the road, Baltimore and Houston. That's great news. Then it doesn't, then it's much softer during the 20 games where the Royals go and face it. They'll have series against Arizona, Toronto, Detroit, the Mets, the White Sox in that same stretch. So that's cushion building right there. If you don't think Boston's going to win a bunch of games in Baltimore or Houston, and I don't think, you know, I don't think that they will. I mean, they could, but you know, the odds are lower. Then okay, you got to go in now, right, and win a bunch of games over the next six. Build that cushion up a little bit. And then you go to Seattle. Seattle's stretch over the home stretch is not nobody's that I've seen is as difficult as the Royals, but Seattle's is probably somewhere in the middle. Not great, not bad. Seattle in that same stretch, they do get three games at LA. Now they get three against Pittsburgh first, but they do have to go to LA for three over the six games that we're talking about coming up for the Royals. So you could potentially get another couple of games. You know, I think that's probably the goal, right, is to get a couple of games now, more distance between you and those two teams. If you're the Royals, you're going into that stretch right now. You're 2.5 and 3.5 games up. What if it's 4.5 and 5.5? Don't you feel a whole lot better? So, look, urgency. It's fun. I enjoy. This is not a panic opening. It's all of these games matter a ton. This is why playoff baseball like this is the dadgum best, because it does every stinking day. It gives you a reason to watch. The Rangers have fallen out of it. I was locked into that game last night just to try to see the Twins lose a game for the Royals' sake. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, as we sit in these dog days, as we're all just like slamming our head against the wall waiting for football, at least most of us, it is very nice to have competitive baseball. We haven't had it in a long time. Royals get going tonight. It's Lorenzen tonight, and they'll face three pretty good starters in this series, but we'll get more into the specifics of that game, this series, any betting opportunities as we make our way through. All the baseball coverage you're hearing presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We've got a giveaway coming for you a little later in the program. We'll give you away some HTO. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. Lots coming, including Chiefs camp. It's done. St. Joe portion out of the way. Now they're home for the second preseason game where we'll see the starters. And then that's pretty much it. Then it becomes all about the Ravens. Camp takeaways, what we expect this weekend. We'll get into all of that. Plus Patrick Mahomes' preferences on pizza. I don't know. Jad's telling me he has Mahomes pizza content here. So we'll have that in the next segment for you as well. That's coming right back on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, Chad, what do we have on Mahomes pizza here? I didn't catch this yesterday, and I went through that audio, but I missed this. What did Mahomes have to say about St. Joe pizza as we wrap up camp?
Well, basically, he's just talking about a he's talking about kind of a ritual that he enjoys, something around players going to get pizza at certain places, and treating some of his linemen to some pizza. And it was something that he brought up in a press conference, and I found it kind of interesting.
It's always interesting. I'm curious about the dynamic of having your camp like that, Tommy, and hanging out in dorm rooms. And I gotta think, like, if I put myself in that same scenario, you want to talk about team building. I mean, it has to, doesn't it? Like, to separate. I like that they do that. I like that they do that, because once you get into the season, it is so robotic, it feels like, for these guys, and you just don't have time for any of that. It's almost like you force it, but it's a necessary thing for these teams. And it's pretty interesting to see guys, especially guys like Mahomes, who have now done it so many times, and there is so much consistency, still value that kind of stuff out of a training camp.
Yeah, think about somebody like Travis Kelce, for example, who jet sets around the world with the biggest pop star on the planet and, all these luxury accommodations. And then he moves into a dorm room for a month, right after coming off that international tour from Taylor Swift. So a little bit of a different world that, he enters into whenever he goes to St. Joe. But I do think that it's important. And the teams that I think that, they're spending all this quality time together and all of that, it does build team culture, to an extent. That's why I think that, things like that, that doesn't get paid attention to nearly as much as the reps in game and the familiarity in game in the preseason that these teams, end up having with one another. That's important. Don't get me wrong. But I think spending, each waking moment with the guys that are at least in your part of the team, that's crucial, because you're separated from the rest of the world for the most part. It's kind of like, to use kind of a cheesy analogy, it's kind of like the Remember the Titans movie, right? Like, they don't get along, and then they go off on a bus to camp and they live together for a while, and they, end up becoming really, really close and really tight. So I do think that that sort of thing is important for the Chiefs. I like the way that they do that. I think it also minimizes distractions too. And so I'm on board with the way they do that.
Yeah. And then you try to take away, like, okay, so what do we take away from training camp? And it's hard, because all we want to focus on is the health of players, right? Did everybody stay healthy? And I do think that is ultimately what ends up being the most important thing out of the early part of the season. But so much other stuff, we're so focused on like a bird's eye view of things, when in reality, I think it's an important time. It is such a critical time, because again, like, this is it. This is all you really get. After Saturday, like, they go into game prep for Baltimore, and that's it. So, like, yeah, they can install.
There's another preseason game that they'll play.
They don't treat it that way for the starters. They'll go through the motions and play some backups and do that. I mean, they'll do the game, but Patrick Mahomes is preparing for Baltimore on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, that part of the process begins. So this is it. And Andy Reid talks about all the time. And look, I know coach speak happens all the time too, but he is a big proponent of the conditioning to make it through the season happens in training camp. And it's almost like a college camp or a high school two-a-day camp type thing. Like, this is where they physically get ready, because now it's all like a mental exercise. And then you just try to stay healthy and rehab your body. So it's done. I mean, they're in the books. I think, Andy Reid seemed pleased with the developments. Mahomes yesterday, as I'm going through his stuff, the really interesting part is, he felt like that day, and again, I'm trying, some of this you just have to take a grain of salt. Patrick Mahomes famously has admitted to just like saying generic things that don't really mean anything. But his takeaway was the competitive, not the competitive nature as much as, like, he said there were days the offense clearly won and there were days the defense clearly won. And he thinks that that's a good thing. And we'll see it all, we'll see it all play out in a couple of weeks. On what, how far are we away from that? September 5th, 3 weeks now, 3 weeks from yesterday. Is that right? That sound right? Yeah.
Three weeks. Yeah.
So we get there. Training camp's done. It's in the books. I think all things considered, it sounds like the Juwan Taylor injury is not serious, although he's not going to play tomorrow. But it sounds like that's not a serious injury. So in totality, we've really looked at it, and we've got a game to play, knock on wood. But if you make it out with Hollywood Brown potentially missing week one as your only major injury at a training camp, would there have been plenty of scares for the Chiefs? There have been plenty of scares for every team across the NFL. That's probably a win, Tommy. Like, that's probably from our bird's eye look and not knowing the intricacies of it. I think we'd probably chalk that up as a win if they can make it through Saturday without any significant injury.
Yeah, you can kind of catch your breath a little bit. But of course, the game tomorrow, for me, it's going to be nerve wracking because, they're not going to have Juwan Taylor playing in the game, even though they avoided serious injury with him. Andy Reid said he won't play in the game tomorrow. It looks like, Wanya Morris returned to practice this week. So I don't know what the reps are going to look like between him and Kingsley Suamataya at left tackle. And then, of course, Joe Tooney is still probably not 100%. He's working his way back. He'll probably be okay, but still, I think that that's a critical, for sure, piece of the puzzle for the Chiefs. And knowing all of that, that does make me a little bit more cautious on the way that I would play those starters this weekend. I know that Andy Reid is famous for saying they're going to play a full half and then that doesn't happen. So I'm not holding my breath that they will. I would just be a little bit more cautious about the starters tomorrow. I know, again, that argument about game reps and familiarity and all of that. But just with the way that that offensive line has been banged up, absolutely you want to get through the entire preseason with Hollywood Brown being the only injury of concern for the Chiefs into the regular season. I think to do that, you have to be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, it's just hold your breath. They're going to play. They're going to play. Some of them are going to play. They probably won't play as much as they said they would, and they're going to play. Got to hold your breath. This is the way the Chiefs always do it. I do think it means something for a lot of them. And I do think that they think it needs to be done because they continue to do it. So we'll see. They're going to play you just got to play. You got to play football. You got to play football.
Yeah. And I'll tell you too, my focus, I don't really want my focus to be on holding my breath to make sure the starters don't get injured.
Right.
I would rather my focus in this game tomorrow and the final preseason game to focus on those players that could provide depth for the Chiefs and who's going to make the roster, who's going to get cut. How are they going to build this team up when we get to the final 53-man roster when it's all said and done? That's how I'd prefer to spend the time going into the game tomorrow and next weekend. And there'll be some of that once the starters get out of the game. But yeah, you just kind of have to cross your fingers and just get through the period of time that Andy Reid wants to play that first line. And then from there, you can really focus on the other stuff.
Yeah, it's Juwan Taylor is the perfect example for me. Juwan Taylor got hurt in practice, right? So to me, and this is where I sort of live with it, what's the difference? He got hurt in practice. It's just it's basically like in July and August, you just don't want to see players hurt. But he left practice, right? We've seen countless players now, Chris Jones, all of these things, they're happening in practice. The Hollywood Brown injury happened in the game, sure. But more injuries have happened in practice. So I just hate this time of year in general. To me, it doesn't really matter if it's a game or whatever. The reps are going to have to happen at some point to get ready for a season. So whether they're in practice or they're in camp, they're more intensive now than they will be starting next week. And so one more day of this, basically, and let's just see if they can get through.
And look, I think I get what you're saying. My follow-up to that, though, is, Juwan Taylor, yes, gets injured in practice, leaves practice. Now you don't have your starting right tackle for the preseason game tomorrow, which means, in theory, the offensive line is weaker to protect Patrick Mahomes in the game tomorrow.
Totally. Yeah, so
I'm going to be more concerned about Patrick Mahomes in the game tomorrow.
Correct. And that I'm guessing here, but I would guess that's why we don't see the starters actually play for a full half, right? They're going to get through what they need to get through, and then they're probably going to get out. And that is a factor. But I think when we look at just the totality of it, let's just hope they go through one more. You can, and that's, it's hard. And we do this every year, we second guess these decisions, but they got to play football, and it's just an injury risk sport. So hopefully we get some great reps out of the two rookies that are look like they're going to be starters now in Kingsley Suamataya and Xavier Worthy, and they get the reps they need to get, and then they can get everybody the hell out of there and get ready for Baltimore with Hollywood Brown being the only significant. Again, that's a win. Like, if that happens, go look around the league at the players that are banged up, nicked up, hurt right now. If the Chiefs can get to that point, that's a win for training camp, a big win.
It's also been interesting to see who the recipient of the Hollywood Brown injury in the wide receiver room has really been throughout training camp. I mean, since last week when Brown went down with that injury, I think that there was a ton of speculation about, would there be one wide receiver that would end up getting more snaps and more work and more reps? Really, it's been Justin Watson, and that's not overly surprising. You know, Justin Watson was, kind of the safety blanket a little bit for Patrick Mahomes last year. He's got a ceiling on what he can do and what his talent level is, but there is a level of trust between him and Mahomes. And he's kind of, by all accounts, slid into not really the role that Hollywood Brown is expected to have with the Chiefs offense, but he's really kind of been getting more of the first team reps and that sort of thing. I think that's interesting for a number of reasons, primarily because there are a handful of other wide receivers that are further down the depth chart that really haven't been the recipient of any additional reps or snaps in training camp. And so we'll see if that turns, you know, carries over into the game tomorrow or not. You got Sky Moore out there. You got Mecole Hardman out there. You got Kadarius Toney out there. I think between those three guys specifically, for sure, one of them will not be on the final roster. I don't know if it'd be up to maybe as far as like two of them, that might be too much. And I think out of the three, it's probably going to be Kadarius Toney. If anybody's going to get cut, it's probably going to be him.
You think Toney's getting cut or Sky Moore?
No, I think out of those three, it's probably going to be Kadarius Toney, in my opinion.
Toney Moore, who's the third?
Hardman. I think out of those three, it's going to be Toney.
Really?
Have you not heard Andy Reid talking about Kadarius Toney during training camp? I mean, he's been, and Andy Reid is, you know, like you mentioned before, pretty good at not saying a whole lot about different things and just giving kind of generic answers. He's been fairly honest about Kadarius Toney and talking about what they have to see from him if he wants to continue on this roster. I know they gave up what they gave up.
Yeah, Matt Nagy called it. Matt Nagy called him out. I didn't see Andy Reid. I saw
Andy Reid did too. Yeah, Andy Reid did too.
I saw Nagy. Look, they're sick of his lack of availability. I get it. But
and consistency just in general.
I would be pretty surprised.
I wouldn't.
If they cut Toney.
Because you have to find a role for him, and I just don't know what that role
is. I get that. As a return man, though, and maybe you don't need him and Hardman, I'm not sure, but what role does Sky Moore play? What's interesting about, and this is, apparently, Justin Ross has probably had his best camp, but it's like the beats have sort of moved off of that story, so nobody's really talking about it. But there are people that are watching practices that I've seen say, like, this is the best Justin Ross has actually looked. We're not talking about him anymore because we're sort of over that story. But that's an interesting thing to watch, too. And that's where we get into these final two preseason games. You'd have to imagine that's an actual battle. And the thing that's what Kadarius Toney has been called out for is because he's not going to, you know, they got to get him back on the field to see what he's got.
Toney didn't play a single snap in the first preseason game.
And he's probably I still don't think he's even practicing yet. Is he?
out of the entire wide receiver room, he is the one that needs the reps probably more than anybody else, because I think he's got to try to
work his way back. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But he didn't even get on the field in the first preseason game. So that's why it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, when the roster cuts actually happen, if he's one of them.
It would surprise me, but I suppose it's on the table if he doesn't come back at all in the camp. He's his injury thing. He's a pain in the butt, man. Austin asks, speaking of receivers, do we think there's a reason they wouldn't go after Juju? Maybe because the Brown injury is not as bad. Yeah, I would say that Rashee Rice is a better version of what Juju did for the offense is probably the biggest reason. I don't think that would be what they need necessarily. Juju obviously has a fond place in Chiefs fans' heart because he helps them win a Super Bowl when they had to have it. But I do think stylistically that Rashee Rice is just better than Juju at the thing that Juju does at this point. But I also think, to the second part of your question there, Austin, yeah, I think the Chiefs aren't insanely worried about the Brown injury. The Brown injury was a freak injury. If Hollywood Brown had injured something that has plagued him, like if it was a foot or leg injury, which has been what's kept him off the field over the course of his career, I think that's where the Chiefs would be far more concerned. The injury that happened to Brown would literally happen to any player if they were tackled that way. Like, that was a freak thing. Like, any player is going to break their collarbone when they're tackled like that. It doesn't happen all that often. When it does, you get a broken collarbone. It happens, I think, to quarterbacks probably the most often. Not necessarily that it stabbed him or whatever the other part of that was, but the broken collarbone thing, it's when guys get both arms wrapped and driven to the ground. It just happens. And so I don't think they're terribly concerned about the Hollywood Brown injury, because it's not related to the injuries that have kept him off the field. When he heals from that, he's going to be back, right? And there's not really like a gray area there. The gray area is the injury risk moving forward, but it's not like a soft tissue injury or something that you could just see like lingering, or Kadarius Toney, who's, you never know. I think they feel like Hollywood Brown's going to be back and he'll be fine, you know, whether it's week one or week two or whatever. So yeah, I don't think there's an urgency to go find. I mean, Hunter Renfro's out on the line. I think he'd be a better fit.
And I was gonna say, like, I think another reason on that is that if they were going to go sign a free agent wide receiver, I don't think they will. But if they did, there are still better options that are out there on the street than Juju. And I'm a Juju fan. I've always liked Juju. I was excited when he was in Kansas City. Yeah. I thought he did a fine job overall. Yeah. I was probably higher on him in Kansas City than you were at the time.
Well, there was a time where I thought he was a perfect fit for Kansas City. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he was like overly talented when he was there, but he was nails, man. He's not the same player he was when he was very young, but he still helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, Hunter Renfro is still out there. I'm not suggesting that, any of these guys I'm about to mention are a good fit, and they wouldn't go sign anybody anyway, I don't think. But Michael Thomas is still a free agent. Julio Jones is still a free agent. Like, there are a handful of wide receivers that are still out there that are veteran, that if the Chiefs really, if that Hollywood Brown injury was severe and it looked like it was going to keep him out for multiple games or, God forbid, an entire season, then there are, I still think, better options that are free agents right now than Juju if they were going to go find somebody.
I agree. But I appreciate the thought. And again, I do think Austin's correct. I just don't think they're that worried long-term about the Hollywood. They should probably be worried in the short term, because the Ravens added Derrick Henry, and man, I just feel like that's a perfect fit. And I think the Ravens are very dangerous. Why are we not talking about the Ravens? They were the best team in the regular season last year in the AFC. They added Derek Flippin' Henry to come out of the shotgun like that. Like, it seems like a perfect fit. And I know he's older, but man, Ravens are looking good. Really wish Hollywood Brown. Maybe he still can. Mitch Holthus had a good point, though. It makes sense to sit him week one, but they might need him. Week one's going to be, that's going to be a good game. All right. We'll talk more about that in the second hour. We'll come back. Make our way through some of the other headlines here. More on the Royals as well. Your calls, your comments. Appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up with some great coffee at the Odyssey family every morning. All the hosts and fine folks there at Odyssey always able to get a good cup of Prairie Fire Coffee. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily. Let's set up a giveaway here for you. If you want to win some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors, it is buy one, get one free day today and every Friday in August to celebrate back to school. You can get a free one, though, on us. And you can get a free rain coffee, iced, hot. I can tell you I have had a preview of the fall lineup that's coming out. And if you're a coffee drinker, I think you're going to love it. Some really, really cool stuff and flavors that sound amazing But more on that when that happens, probably the end of the month or so. Anyway, you can win a free brand coffee, a free HTO iced tea right now for any of the Wichita Metro locations, either east or west in Wichita or in Derby, by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That's T to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, did you see this happen yesterday? At least the story came down. Major League Baseball toying with the idea of putting mandatory six-inning, it's a restriction on a starting pitcher. There are caveats, if they give up four runs or few or more, they can be pulled. If there's an injury, they can be pulled, although they would have to go on the IL in that scenario. You want to talk about changing the dynamic of baseball. Now, I would imagine, and I haven't looked outside of this initial, like, this is a, an idea or whatever, I would imagine there will be people with pitchforks and all of those things, but isn't it wild how baseball went from we will never change anything to the last decade of we're willing to change everything. And by the way, almost everything they've changed has made the game better. You National League, honks might think the DH being there is not good. It's a good thing. Adding a playoff team is a good thing. Getting rid of the shift, good thing. Pitch clock, good thing. Reviews, good thing. All of these things that people before they were done were mad about have ended up being massively helpful to the sport. I'm not giving an endorsement to this, by the way, but I'm also not going to overreact at the initial idea of it. I want to know why. I want to know, I'm glad baseball's at least willing to evolve these days.
I can tell you why. It's pretty easy. It's because Major League Baseball wants the starting pitcher to be like the quarterback in the NFL, where like it's the centerpiece of a team. That's the way that it used to be. You had starting pitchers that it was very rare that they didn't go deep into a game. You think of like some of the greats from when we were growing up and the Nolan Ryans of the world and the Greg Maddoxes of the world and the Randy Johnsons of the world and Roger Clemens. And like those guys were superstars. There aren't as many superstar pitchers as there used to be. And a lot of it is because the usage isn't nearly as high and because of the injury risk. And we now know about the number of innings and pitches thrown by pitchers and what it does to a player's arm and that sort of thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to overreact to this either. And the reason I'm not going to overreact to it is because it will never happen.
Not
like
that
the story
way.
Is interesting, but it will simply. Never happen because, well, and I don't think, because keep in mind, like this would have to be something that is collectively bargained in with the Players Association. The Players Association are never going to sign off on this.
Did they have they to are never bargain a shift ban and a pitch clock? I don't know. And that relievers had to pitch.
This has to do with like potential health of pitchers.
They would absolutely
have to have this collectively.
It would line up to me with relief pitchers having to come in and pitch to at least three batters.
There's a major difference between that.
Well, I know there is, but in philosophy of like
100 pitches in six innings.
But the rules of collective bargaining is what I mean. Like they could
make
the same case.
This is a player health and safety situation. I don't think this will ever happen. I think it's a terrible idea, first and foremost, but I don't think it will ever happen.
I'm not ready to say it's a terrible idea. I need more insight, and I don't know if it has to be collectively bargained. I would bet you that it does not have to be collectively bargained based on the other changes we've seen, but that's above our pay grades to know what has to be collectively bargained until somebody digs in on it. We'll come back. Hour number two. We'll get you ready for the Royals series specifically. We took a bird's eye look. Let's grind into some of these games specifically and get you ready as well for the preseason game for the Chiefs on Saturday. What do we want to see in the time the starters are there? With those topics and more, Sports Daily rolling into hour number two.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is hour number two here on the program. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, glad to be with you on this Friday. TGIF, we're getting ready for a weekend. We've got baseball going back tonight for the Royals. We got some football kind of going tomorrow for the Chiefs and a lot of NFL teams as we get through this second to last preseason game. The second game sort of is the last game for all intents and purposes, but we've got you primed for that. You can hear both the Royals and that Chiefs game right here with us on the Odyssey Family Networks. More on that a little bit later. The IHOP hotline is open for you today. It's wide open all day, in fact, and it's brought to you by IHOP with its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal that runs through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. That's where we find Jad Chambers. All right, Tommy, let's go to the Chiefs again here. So we know that they're going to play, like we've established all of that. What do we want to see in the time the starters are out there? I think the obvious choice is Sumatai at left tackle. Am I off on that? I mean, that to me, that seems like the most important thing to watch is how he handles those duties again, because it looks like he's going to be the guy there.
Yeah, that's probably number one for me. I mean, it's been probably the number one storyline for the most part outside of injuries and training camp has been that battle at left tackle. It does add a little bit of a wrinkle that Wanya Morris returned to practice this week. So it'll be interesting. I would imagine that it'll be Kingsley Suamataya with the first team to start out the game. But it'll be interesting to see how quickly does Wanya Morris come in, if he does at all. How many reps will Wanya Morris get in that game? What will that split look like? That's really, I think, still going to be the most intriguing story coming out of the second preseason game.
I mean, I know a lot of attention's going to Xavier Worthy as somebody, you know, needing to step up and do all these things with Brown out. I don't know that his role changes with Brown out. Maybe it does, but to me, it seems like his, you know, he may get more targets, but I don't think what he's going to do will change, because I think the plan has always been to have him and Brown out there anyway. Like Justin Watson's probably going to be the expanded role. I just don't think Worthy is going to do anything different with Brown out than he would have done. They may target him more, but like his role in the offense, I don't think changes all that much. So, you know, his name keeps coming up as like the player that needs to step up, I think he just needs to do what he's supposed to do to begin with.
I think the really the only, for me, thing that I'll be paying attention to with Xavier Worthy is how involved will he be? Not necessarily what he'll do, but how involved will he be in that short time that he's going to be on the field? And the reason that I say that is because now that Hollywood Brown is out for the remainder of the preseason and maybe into the regular season a little bit, the only different player in the skill position area from last year to this year is Xavier Worthy. Everybody else is the same as far as the starting skill position players. Everybody else is the same. There's nobody different. And so that's the only like thing that you can grab onto by saying, okay, well, let's see how different it is from a year ago in the way that the offense runs and operates. And I know you've mentioned multiple times, and I don't disagree with you, that schematically things are probably going to be different for the Chiefs from last year to this year. And that's all well and good and definitely something to pay attention to. But personnel-wise, with Hollywood Brown now on the shelf for a period of time, the only different skill position player out there is going to be Xavier Worthy.
I get what you're saying. I think my point is I just don't. And the reason I say this is because I think that's the narrative out there. Okay, Brown's out. Now Worthy has to step up. Honestly, though, like I think the role Worthy is going to play stays the exact same. I don't think they change it or add more. He's a rookie wide receiver. He's got enough on his plate just to learn what he's supposed to do to begin with. I think it's far more likely that Justin Watson just plays the Hollywood Brown role, right? And then they don't mess with anything else. They just keep Worthy that's on the same track they had him on to begin with. The combination of those two guys, to me, is you're right, is what changes the offense schematically. And I don't even know how much schematically as much as I just feel like how much success they'll have with the things they tried to do early last year, right? If you just simply said, we're going to take Worthy and let him be MVS, and I don't think this is going to happen, by the way, but if you just simply said, all right, Worthy's going to be MVS and Hollywood Brown is going to replace the Sky Moore experiment, right? That's what we're going to do in Rashee Rice. That's already going to, we would think, make them better. But I do think they'll do a little bit more than that. I think that they'll open it up a little bit more and they'll start the season with more trust in that group than they ended last season with, which did really hamper down their offense to become basically a Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce show. I mean, that's what it was. Both those dudes were targeted like 12 times a game, it felt like. That I don't think will be the case now. That's what I mean. I will be stunned if any player in the offense commands that sort of target share now. I think it'll be far more spread out, and that won't change with the Hollywood Brown injury singularly. What would change that is if Worthy's not any good and Brown stays hurt, and now they're right back to where they started last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a really simple explanation as to why a guy like Justin Watson got the targets and the catches that he did a season ago. It's not because he's some freak athlete or some amazing wide receiver. It's only trust.
Yeah.
The trust that he had built with Patrick Mahomes in a season where he couldn't really trust hardly anybody else outside of Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice. That's the beneficiary of that's going to be Justin Watson. And so I do agree with you that from a trust perspective, there should be a significantly larger amount of trust that Patrick Mahomes has built up because you have a year under your belt with Rashee Rice. Of course, Travis Kelce is, Mr. Reliable for the most part. And then you've got, Xavier Worthy, if that trust can be built up. I do think, and I mentioned this earlier this week, I do think that one thing to keep our eyes on, if this Hollywood Brown injury lingers, suggesting it will, but if it does, they brought Hollywood Brown in not only for his athleticism, but his reliability. His drop rate percentage a year ago was very, very low, significantly lower than any of the Chiefs wide receivers last year. He catches the football. And if you don't have him, if he's on the shelf for a period of time, then I don't know if you're going to see just this major shift in all of a sudden a lot fewer dropped passes if Hollywood Brown is not on the field. I think it'll be better than last year. Rashee Rice, all the talent in the world that he has, he dropped a lot of passes last year. His drop percentage rate was pretty high. But I think that should be improved with a year under his belt in the NFL. There were just a lot of things like that that happened that were kind of fluky too. So I do think that'll be better, but that is something to pay attention to if the Hollywood Brown injury lingers.
Travis Kelce ain't dropping a lot of passes this year. He dropped more than normal last year. Some of that is will self-correct. I agree.
There were some fluky things.
Yeah, it'll self-correct a little bit. So again, though, when we look at Worthy tomorrow, as we're kind of trying to focus on tomorrow, I don't think anything changes on what they expect out of him right now, right? Like, the Chiefs have a famously difficult offense to grasp and comprehend. It's a big part of the reason Sky Moore, quite frankly, struggled and has struggled. You got to get Worthy through that part first and remember that he missed a large portion of the offseason with a leg injury. So I just don't think that they're going to all of a sudden add all this pressure on Worthy. I think Worthy's impact will be there this year. I think he will impact games. I think he will make big plays. And I, who knows if he is able to, you know, integrate into the offense the way Rashee Rice did last year, more out of necessity than anything else. I don't know the answer to that, but I don't think that they're going to put that on him early because Hollywood Brown's missing time. I don't think they'll want to put that on him. I think they're far more inclined to go with Justin Watson and lean back into Rashee Rice a little bit too. They do have, and this is the Kadarius Toney factor that you brought up in the last hour of getting cut. That adds to the offense if he's out there and can play some sort of like backfield position. He's got to be there. I get it. He has to, you know, best ability is availability. I get all that. But he does add another element back there too. I don't know what they're going to do with Mecole Hardman. I assume just let him be a return man, but that is also an insurance policy. You know, he caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. That is an insurance policy to be able to slide him in early in the year if you had to, because he's, I don't think they want to.
Yeah, and I think that also keep in mind that last year the Chiefs kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and carried seven wide receivers on the active roster. That usually it was six. They carried seven last year because they had a lot of, from a numbers perspective, they had a lot of wide receivers. From a quality perspective, it wasn't there, but from a numbers perspective, they did. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them carry seven going into this season. The question becomes which seven? And so if you're, you know, ranking things on a depth chart, you know, clearly Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, those three. Justin Watson has got to be number four. He's got to have a roster spot because of the trust. Then you've got Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney. There's seven right there. Justin Ross, that's eight.
Hardman's
so one of those
make,
four.
Hardman's
going to
make
the team
so
because of his
five.
Return ability.
Yep,
so
let's
that's
go to five.
So really then, and I know that there are a couple of others. You know, Nico Remigio is, you know, somebody that has been I think the Chiefs like him. He's been on the practice squad before.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah.
But I think really you've got three guys for two spots, and that becomes Justin Ross, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. And, you know, if they like Justin Ross in the way that it sounds like they do, he may be number six. And then it's like two guys for one spot. Is it Sky Moore? Is it Kadarius Toney? I don't know. I would say Kadarius Toney. That's my opinion, just because he's not available a majority of the time.
It breaks my heart to say this because I've always been a Sky Moore advocate.
You're a Sky Moore guy.
What does he add to this team at this point? I mean, he hasn't provided them anything. At least Toney, when he's out there, provides you, you know, the explosive thing.
But
that
that's the thing is Toney's not out there. So
I understand.
It's almost like,
but
I don't,
can't
I mean,
you, but can't, I mean, if Toney's not out there, you bring him on, maybe you put him on the pup or something. And then it, to me, it become, and this is why that surprised me about Toney. And you may very well be right. Like maybe the discussion should be, and this is kind of where I've been on it. Is it Justin Ross or Sky Moore? Right. As that guy with Toney, I have had Toney penciled in, it's almost
but then,
better.
You know, then the question is, okay, could you move Kadarius Toney in more of a backfield role and have him, you know, technically be a running back, one of those running back positions? And I think that, you know, I know that he got some reps in the backfield during training camp, but then you've got guys like Carson Steele. If that ends up being
if
that's a real thing and not just a flash in the pan, then he's going to take up a roster spot that people weren't anticipating that he would. They carry, you know, as of right now, they've got What are there four? There are four tight ends that are on the roster. Not all of them are going to make it, but obviously Travis Kelce, you've got Noah Wiley, you've got or Jared Wiley, you've got Noah Gray, and you've got Irv Smith Jr. Those are the four. They're not going to keep all of them, but if they keep three, then that's another roster spot that's being taken up by, you know, somebody that, you know, could be a wide receiver. So they're not going to keep eight wide receivers. The only way that I think all of those guys make the team is if, like, Kadarius Toney is listed as a running back. That's about the only that's about the only way in my mind that that happens.
Well, it does. It's the same number of players overall, wherever they, you know, wherever they list him is not. I mean, it's okay, right? It's just
I'm just trying to slot him into a position, you know, to be able to get to that, you know, that magic number.
With the cuts don't happen as early. They've got time, and the final preseason game will probably help them determine that stuff. But long story short, don't expect Worthy to all of a sudden come out of the gates and be the, you know, the beneficiary of a Hollywood Brown absence. I just, to me, that does not make any sense. I would say you're far more likely to see a bigger emphasis put on Rashee Rice than Xavier Worthy. And then Justin Watson is your placeholder. You know, week one, probably you're just going to have Justin Watson play the position that Hollywood Brown is going to play, and nothing changes with Worthy or
that's the way that it's been in practice all this week.
Yeah,
like I mentioned, it just doesn't. Justin Watson has been the recipient of that.
But again, back to the comment from Austin on YouTube earlier, like it's because I don't think they're overly concerned about the long term nature of Hollywood Brown's injury. Now, if Hollywood Brown misses significant time, I think this conversation probably shifts a little bit. Are the Chiefs comfortable with letting Watson be the placeholder for 8 weeks? I don't know about that. And that is something to watch if it comes. But right now, we're not to that point, right? And over that amount of time, by that point, maybe Worthy has integrated enough that he does change what they're asking him to do early in the season. But as far as Saturday, as far as tomorrow, and then the beginning of the regular season are concerned, yeah, the correct answer is just to let Watson play the position. And then you lean into Rashee Rice a little bit more. Maybe you lean on Travis Kelce a little bit more. I don't know what to expect. We'll obviously have 2 weeks to think about this. Think about that Ravens game. How do we see that stylistically playing out? Is that an Isaiah Pacheco game? Is that a pass heavy game? I know how it's going to play out for the Ravens. And the middle linebackers better be ready for the Chiefs, because I'll bet you the Ravens are going to pound that. You remember the mistake the Ravens made in the game against the Chiefs? That, like, the Chiefs had one clear deficiency, and it was, you know, against the run and the Ravens just refused to do it. You remember that? That seems like a lifetime ago. And like one of the worst coaching decisions ever from one of the best coaches in football. Made no sense whatsoever. They ain't going to make that mistake again 3 weeks from yesterday. They are going to pound that rock in that game. You got Derrick Henry back there now with Lamar Jackson. That's not going to be a fun day at the office as a linebacker against the Ravens this year. That's what they're going to do. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do.
Well, I think that ends up becoming, I know we're going to have a ton more leading up to that game when we break it down and analyze it leading up to week one against the Ravens. But yeah, from a linebacker perspective, it's going to be the very first time that we see the way that the Chiefs linebacker core plays without Willie Gay Jr. And I think that's a major factor. Like, you're going to have, several other players that are going to be in that role, filling that spot, that sort of thing. I mean, Drew Tranquil, the Chiefs are putting a lot on his shoulders to kind of lead that portion of the defense. And right out of the gate, it's going to be an incredibly tough test for that part. I mean, the defense as a whole, but especially the linebackers in week number one. So it's not like they get to really ease into it and start off the season with a cupcake or anything. Like, they're taking on a Ravens team that they were really good last year, and they're probably even better, at least on paper, coming into this year.
Saturday, we got to get through Saturday and one more preseason game. As much as we just want to, we want to jump ahead to the Ravens. You can hear that game Saturday. It will be one to listen to, because this wide receiver battle on the, you know, you get the starters to begin with, and then you get some camp battles and some battles for the roster that are going to get really, really interesting. And maybe we get a chance to see Carson Wentz too. We'll have that game's tomorrow. We'll tell you when and how to listen to it coming up a little later. Let's go back to the Royals when we return. We'll look at these games of this series. We'll get you a preview tonight. We'll look at the bets. We'll dig into the Reds when we return on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, rolling right along through hour number two here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Appreciate Crestview's support of the show. Get out there, play a little golf. We're about to get into prime golfing season. You're a bigger golfer than I am. I love golf. I just don't, you know, it's been more of a time thing. But the fall is prime golf season, right, Tommy? That's when everybody wants to be out there playing.
Yeah, I love fall golf. I've always been a big fan of that time of year. I mean, it's obviously not as hot, so that plays a big role in it. I think the only downside, actually, there might be two downsides to fall golf. Number one is that the sun doesn't stay out as late, so you can't really play late afternoon, evening golf. You have to push your tee times earlier in the day so you can get done before the sun goes down. That's one thing. And then number two, if you're playing on a course that has a lot of trees, sometimes it can be hard to find your ball and all the leaves that are on the ground. That becomes a challenge, but you know, then you just have to hit it in the fairway and you should be fine. You shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's not.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Not a problem for me. No, I do lose a lot of golf balls in general. Mine isn't, though, like... I have a focus problem, which is my issue with golf, is I'm always thinking about something else. I lose balls, Tommy, that I hit fine, and then I just forget where I hit them by the time, especially if I'm playing with more, like if it's just me, that happens less. But like when I have the kids out there, if I'm playing in a group, like I'll hit my ball and then I forget where it went by the time everybody hits. I'm like, where did I hit that thing? And there are other people that have like this uncanny recall on where a ball goes. And I'm like, can you just watch mine for me? I very much need like a GPS ball, right? Like, why have we not done that yet? Oh, it would be so simple to just put a little bag inside
they do that,
those balls.
They do that at Topgolf. That's a Topgolf thing.
Yes.
But it's really, I mean, that's expensive technology. And, you know, so that's probably why.
And how expensive? Golf balls are already stupid expensive.
You want to pay $100 a box instead of $50? I mean, like, that's
I got news for you. I ain't paying $50 for a box of balls. I'm very much a go get, like, as many used balls as I can for $10. We really, like, again, brought to you by Crestview. Don't tell on me for this, Tommy. I don't mind an occasional range ball making its way into my bag.
You can't do that.
Like if there's one out on
that's
random
a cardinal course, rule that you're breaking, you can't like I'm use not a range ball on the course.
If there's a random range ball out in the middle of nowhere, it's not being used on. What are you supposed to do? Take it back to the range and drop it off? Like, I don't know the rules on that.
Or leave it there. Don't pick it. I don't know. Somebody else will get it. Like don't play your round with a range ball.
I don't play my round with a range ball. You got to let me finish. If I know that I'm in the major danger of hitting a water ball, I will use the worst ball I have. Like I go
that's,
counter.
That's fine. I mean, yeah. Like there are, like I've got junk balls in my golf.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Junk balls.
But they're junk.
But sometimes a junk ball for me has been like a range ball I found on the edge of the pond. Right. Like, cause somebody hit it over there. I'm like, well, I'm not going to just leave that there. I'm supposed to leave that there. That's a golf etiquette.
Or pick it up and take it back to the range, but don't play with it. Like that's for me, like that's kind of that's a cardinal rule. Like
what is the reason behind the cardinal rule?
Even hit a shot with a range ball.
What is the reason for the cardinal rule?
Well, I mean, because the range balls are for a purpose. They're for a specific purpose to hit on the driving range.
But
that's why they
say
range
like a,
on them or practice or
no, no, no. I know that they say no. That, but is that because it's like it's going to make my game worse or is it like there's
know.
A
I didn't invent range balls. I don't know why you're not supposed to do that. You're just not supposed to.
Yeah, there's a lot of supposed to's in golf that I don't know about. And so anyway, don't hit your ball in the water. Because they should put trackers in these balls. Yes, they should put trackers in these balls. And it can't be that expensive. I mean, it can't be. Topgolf does it, right? All these places do it. Just to stick one in there, everything you can. I don't know. I lose too many balls. That's why I don't buy expensive balls. By the way, I go find the more affordable.
You go find a range ball and you hit
well,
a range ball.
If there's a range ball staring me at the face on like in hole 15 sitting on the edge of the water, yeah, I'm not scared to try to hit that one over the water instead of one of my balls because there's decent chance it goes in the water. I'll need a course etiquette lesson probably. But anyway, go out to Crestview. They got 36 holes of golf for you. Check it out. Get out there. We appreciate it. They've also got the pool open just a little bit longer and a great restaurant bar.
Hang on real quick. Let me ask you this, Jacob.
Yeah.
If you didn't have that junk range ball in your bag, would you have laid up?
No, because I'm an idiot. No, but...
Okay, then it doesn't matter.
It does. I would lay up, yes, if I hit the first one in the water. Like if I'm... There are times where I'm like, you know what? Like there's the 10-cup moment where like I got to get it over the water. And then there's the moments where I'm like, I ain't getting it over the water. I just got to eat this one and go on the other side, or I'm going to hit 9 balls in that water. But no, like before I approach it, I always try at least one time. I mean, you have to do that.
I found an answer as to why range balls should not be used during the actual round. It's not really an etiquette thing. Range balls are designed to be durable and withstand thousands of shots rather than for distance or performance. They're not going to perform the same way as a regular golf ball.
I know
the
that.
Ball, it's not going to carry as far. It's going to be less accurate. The ball is going to be worn. If you're trying to aim in one direction, it might go a completely different direction. It's not going to fly like a regular golf ball should. Those are the reasons why if you actually care about the round that you're playing, probably shouldn't use a range ball.
Oh, well, see, you had me feeling bad. I don't care about any of that. Like, I'm not going to put spin on the ball anyway. Like, I just
why are you playing if you don't care about what the
because
round
my
is.
Game's not to that level. I enjoy the time out on the course, but I'm not spinning balls. Like, I just
neither
need
am
to,
I. I'm not good.
I just I need to make sure I'm
time.
Making.
But I also
I need to make consistent good contact. That's what I need to do. So for me,
wouldn't you rather hit a regular golf ball that goes even 10 yards further than a range ball that goes 10 yards shorter consistently? Like I would rather hit a regular golf ball each time to do that. If I knew I was going to get 10 more yards, I would do that every time.
I don't think I'm consistent enough for that to be an accurate reading yet. I will be, and I have been, but I'm still just trying to get back in the groove of this thing.
Can we get you lessons? I would love to get you some lessons.
Yeah,
actually film it, like document your progress.
I don't think I have a bad swing or anything. I'm average. I'm Joe Schmo golfer. I mean, I'm very normal to people that have played before the last 3 months. I don't know, 8 times in 5 years. Like, I think I'm pretty normal to the, you know, like it takes a lot of dadgum time to get consistent in golf. And that's the problem for most people is they don't have it. Now that we're out at Crestview playing a little more, I mean, I can find it. I can find that consistency, but we did baby steps. We're getting there. My best golf I've ever played was 90. Okay. So I got some work to do. Yeah, I need to take a lesson, but I'm afraid they'll tell me to change everything. And then it's like, there's no way that's ever going to work. But maybe, I don't know. Yeah, it's in the cards at some point. I've got it. I'll do it. I know Crestview has that ability. And from what I've heard, I think you have participated in this.
I have.
Some of the best out there. So that is intriguing to me for sure. But I don't need to be judged either.
You're not going to get judged. I mean, to your point, as far as the way that those lessons go, the very first one I took out at Crestview, they asked me, do you want to totally rebuild your swing, or do you want to use what you currently have and just try to get a little bit better with the swing you currently have? Well, I'm not trying to compete and win tournaments. You know, I just want to feel like I know what I'm doing out on the course. And so they took what I already do and made it a little bit better, made some tweaks. They didn't totally rebuild it from the ground up, because at that point, I'm not interested. That's too much time, too much work.
All I want to do is eliminate the frustrating missed shot, like total miss hit. If it doesn't go straight, or if I pick the wrong distance, that stuff doesn't bother me nearly as much as when I waste a shot because I hit 6 inches behind the ball. Like, why does that? That's the part of my game I got to eliminate. That's my goal in golf. I don't need to be a great golfer. I just need to be able to golf respectfully and win some bets out on the course. That's what I need to be able to do. Give Crestview a call. Tommy, let's talk about the Royals tonight. Speaking of bets, nice transition there, because we look at this game and I can tell you right now, the Royals are an underdog in this game. Nick Martinez has been pretty good. It is a road game, but the Royals are plus money on the money line behind Michael Lorenzen. I bring that up because I think the Reds may be better than their record, but there's still no excuses, right, for the Royals in this series. I would imagine that on the road, Tommy, the Royals will be the underdog on the money line at least two out of these three games in this series. So what do we take from that? What does that mean? I don't think it means much, but to just sort of focus your expectation, that doesn't change the fact that the Royals should absolutely take at least two out of three games in this series.
Well, that's what they need to be doing, and they need to start it off with a win tonight. It's been a while since they've done that. The thing about the Reds, you know, I think you can kind of call them, well, they can pitch, but I mean, they've got some really exciting young players on that team. Elly De La Cruz is one of the superstardom, I would say. He's one of the future stars, maybe even current stars of the game. And he's been really good so far this season. Spencer Steer, we got used to him here in Wichita with the wind surge a couple of years ago. He's come onto the scene as well. So they've got some really, really young and exciting talent on that team that the Royals are going to have to deal with throughout this series. Yeah. You know, their record, yeah, they're two games under 500, but it's not because they don't have talent. They absolutely do. And they're trying to get back to 500. They're not fully out of the wild card race in the National League either. It's going to be an uphill climb for them, but they're not out of it. And so it's not like the Reds have nothing to play for. They've got a lot to play for still at this point in the season. So, but it, like we've talked about throughout the last few days, it all starts with the Royals getting out. And I think they've got to get out to an early lead in the game. Wow. Part of the issue, like in the games that they lost against the Twins, like they were, you know, by the second, third inning or whatever, the Twins had jumped all over them. And at that point they were playing from behind. You can't do that in a situation like this when you're starting off a series against the Reds.
The Reds have four starters, Tommy, with sub four ERAs. One of them, Hunter Green, is like really, really, really good. But they're going to face three starting pitchers in this series with sub four ERAs. And that's not like short, sample size aberration type stuff. That's very much real. And so getting out to the good start is, yeah, I agree. But they have to be able to not get too far behind early in a game either. It's going to take some of probably, you know, the Royals have been really good, really opportunistic offensively. They've also been, you know, kind of a part of their identity this year is to not let up and really kind of keep it through all the late innings. I don't know how good the Reds bullpen is. I don't think good. So, like, can you keep it close enough? Can you be, you know, can you just kind of keep up with some of that good starting pitching? I almost think it's like, just hang tight until the sixth inning kind of stuff, right? Just be there by the sixth inning and then really – but a part of that – and I know you know, Rick brought this up earlier, and we didn't – I'll put it up now. We didn't get this. The bullpen blow-ups, that's added pressure to the Royals' bullpen too. They have to be able to maintain it because there's a decent chance that they're going to enter a couple of these games late in the game, either tied or down – And then they'll be able to start their work offensively if they can get those starters out of the game. Yeah, I'd like to see them jump out to 4-0 leads in all of these games. I just don't, just for the folks out there, understand that the Reds have a really good starting rotation. That's kind of their strength on a year. I think they're a little better than people thought they would be. You know, they're a game under 500, but I don't think Reds fans would be terribly disappointed with this season. They've got good young starting pitching.
That's really the key, I think, for the Reds and something that they're going to 100% have to lean on, not only in this series, but if they have any hope of getting back into the National League wildcard race, it'll be that starting pitching. And I think they're overlooked a little bit, you know, and especially in their division, they don't get the kind of attention they did for a while last year, because remember, they jumped out to a really hot start last year and they were kind of, for a while, they were kind of like the Royals are this year, where nobody expected the Reds to be in the mix. They were for a while. Then everything kind of fell off a cliff for them, you know, midway through last season. So they're trying to come back from that. They're trying to continue to improve. I think they are probably a future playoff team, especially with the young talent that they're building around. But for right now, and especially for this series tonight for Cincinnati, it's all about the starting pitching.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Royals are a better team than they are. That's the reality. The Royals are a better team. The Royals are not a great road team, although they've been better. They're almost all the way up to 500 on the road. I don't know if folks have been paying attention to that. So they certainly have been better lately, but they're going to be underdogs in a lot of these games because the starting pitcher for the Reds are going to be good in all the games, and the Royals are on the road. So take that for what it's worth. Doesn't mean they shouldn't win 2 out of 3. At least they should. Austin, and we'll get this in before we take the break. Austin has another one for us. Honest time. Do we see the Royals making the playoffs? I would tell you yes. And I've been on that since the trade deadline for sure. In a definitive form, outside of some catastrophic injury, I do think so. I think that they did enough at the deadline to me to make them roster top to bottom. I'll take them over Boston for sure. And Seattle, because Seattle's offense has been so bad, I would take them over Seattle too. The big caveat and the biggest question for me, Tommy, is if the starting pitchers continue to break down a little bit over the stretch. That would be the thing to me that really cripples those chances. But I do, if I'm making the call right now, yeah, I think they're in.
Well, I think the biggest question mark for me between now and the end of the season that will dictate whether or not they make the playoffs is 100% the bullpen. It goes back to what Rick said earlier in the show about the bullpen blowups. And I don't know the number. I don't have it in front of me, but the number of games that have been blown due to the bullpen.
Three lately, I think.
Yeah, you know, lately, but I'm talking from the start of the season.
Oh,
to now.
A lot.
The record could be totally different and significantly better without all the bullpen blowups that the Royals have had. They've got a bona fide star, I think, in Lucas Ersig on the back end of that bullpen. I think that he's your automatic guy in the ninth inning in safe situations. That's great. Outside of that, it's still kind of, you know,
I think
uncertain.
It's too.
But as far as like being an automatic, you know, they're going to lean on him in every game. It's Ersig right now in the ninth, and I think it probably will continue to be. Outside of that, like we don't really know.
Well, fundamentally to me, like the issue is bridging to Ersig then, right? Like because my fear is the starter not being able to do what they did early in the year, which would be kind of to get into the sixth, seventh inning. You know, early in the year, you really only needed two, right? You needed two guys, which in that sense to me, Bubic and Ersig would get there. And I know they still want Harvey to be there, but we just haven't seen that yet. They need probably two more guys right now, because the starters just aren't getting them as deep into these games consistently. So if it's Ersig, and I think it's Bubic, they need at least one more that they can count on not to blow it in the seventh inning. That's where they've really struggled. I think, you know, Harvey gives them another option eventually. They're not there yet. I don't know who that is, because you kind of hoped that Will Smith's momentum could carry it, but that's already fallen apart. Long is the
They've
most
leaned
likely.
On Long lately, but
he's
Long
the,
hasn't
the most
been
likely. I know,
automatic.
I know, but he's certainly been better than Stratton or Smith.
Yeah, it's not Stratton
it's lately.
Not Smith, it's not Zerpa.
Right. So, you know, and Hernandez is their long guy, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that either. So, who is that other guy? They want it to be Harvey. Harvey is, but he's not there right now, and he's got to show you that he's healthy. So, you kind of have to find it on the roster. Who is it? I don't know. The better answer is your starters consistently now get you into that seventh inning.
And I'll tell you right now, I really hope that Hunter Harvey struggles when he was pitching after the trade were directly related to his injury. Hopefully too. when he comes back, he's fully healthy and the way that he pitches turns around a lot because he's healthy. Because yeah, I'd like to think that was connected.
I do. I definitely think it was, but it's a bat. So you never know, right? Backs don't come easily. So he's going to battle, I'm sure. And I'm sure they'll try to run him out there. If your starters can get you there and your offense can provide you a big lead, it's not nearly as critical. At least there's Urcig and Bubic now. That's more than they had. And maybe MacArthur can groove it. He's had a couple of outings now where he's been clean. Maybe he can be the guy again once he works through whatever he was struggling with. It all goes tonight. It's a weird start time again in Cincinnati. So it's a 5:40 first pitch tonight. So keep that in mind. Much earlier than we're used to with the Royals. We'll get you, the coverage details coming up in just a little bit. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Last full segment. We'll look at the headlines, see if there's something out there tickling our fancy a little bit in the sports headlines for a Friday ahead of a big weekend here locally. That's next on Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
There it is. Patrick Mahomes on the pizza. I've been to St. Joe a couple of times for camp. I don't think I ever ate pizza. Pretty cool thing for that local spot that he called out by name, though. Ian Book eats 9 pieces of pizza. We talked about pizza. Man, I'm telling you. What is it about pizza? Like, I could eat 1,000 pieces of pizza. 1,000. Why is that? Because it sounds like with bread and cheese and like it sounds like something that would fill you up. But no, I could eat 1,000,000 pieces of pizza.
This might be a controversial take. I actually prefer cold pizza the next day than the actual hot pizza when it comes that day. So like I'll eat a lot of pizza regardless, but I've been known to demolish a bunch of leftover pizza. If it's cold out of the fridge the next day, like I'll take down the entire pizza.
Here's a question for you, though, because I also love cold pizza. I'm not sure that I like it more. I would say this, though. Thin crust pizza, I don't feel that way about. But regular crust pizza, I would agree with you. Thin crust pizza, I would much prefer to have that hot than cold. But the regular crust, I'm fine with it cold. In fact, I don't mind cold food. I'll take it up a notch. Cold spaghetti. Cold, like I don't mind cold food at all. Like I'll eat cold food and it just doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, it depends on what it is, but I'm with you. There are some things that, okay, yeah, like I'm okay eating cold. I'll grab like pasta. Pasta is one of those things. I'll do cold. No big deal. I like it. But pizza for sure.
Now this one, you might fall out of your chair. Or maybe I'm not. Have you ever tried cold steak?
Oh yeah, of course.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, like I would prefer, maybe not prefer, but like if I'm going to get a salad and I'm going to put steak
You'd rather
on the salad,
your steak be cold.
I'd almost my steak be cold on that salad. I think
I
would rather my chicken be cold. If I'm going to put chicken on a salad, I would rather the chicken be cold.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I don't care. Either way is good for me. So the Royals get their pizza, they wrap up camp, and you have the game tomorrow. Just a real quick note on that. So you'll get that at 2:00 coverage beginning. Remember, that's over on KNSS, the host of the Chiefs, the home of the Chiefs, I should say. That coverage begins at 2:00. Lions, if you're a football fan in general, the Lions will have things of interest too. The Lions are a contender. I think that they've got as good a shot as anybody in the NFC. I really do, and I hope for them. I would tell you this on the Lions. Keep this in mind if you're thinking about betting them. I think Goff gets to play 14 of their games this year inside. And historically, he is as Jekyll and Hyde inside versus outside as there is. And I think their road schedule puts him in. I believe that the total number of his indoor games is like 14 this year. He won't play indoors, of course, against the Chiefs. I don't even know if he's playing. I haven't looked at what the Lions' plan is for their starters. I have no idea. But, you know, revenge perhaps from last year in week one in this preseason game. We'll see if they use that at all.
They also have some of the most exciting skill players in the National Football League on that team. And I don't know, like, you know, to your point, what their plan is in utilizing those guys in the preseason game. But it's going to make the Lions that much more fun to watch. They've been fun to watch in the Dan Campbell era. Last year was incredible for them. I think it's going to continue this year.
They got that line. You're right, Jameson Williams. Maybe this is the year he takes off. Lions are not, I mean, I'm not comfortable saying definitively anybody's better than them in the NFC. If you tell me San Francisco doesn't have Brandon Ayuk, I might take the Lions as the favorite in the conference. We'll see. We'll come back. We'll tell you about the Royals this weekend as well. Each day, where you can find them. Some interesting start times, so you want to pay attention to that a little bit. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.